before the arrest and crucifixion, Jesus speaks these words. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son as the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence and glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, and I have given them the words that you have gave me, and they have received them, have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Let the Lord bless us with his word. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our Savior, our God, we pray this morning that you would be glorified just as you were glorified with the Father from ages eternal, just as you deserve to be glorified because of your infinite holiness, just as you demand and declare yourself worthy of in the pages of your word. We pray this morning that you would be exalted in our hearts through the preaching of your word, through the worship of you in song and in prayer and in life. We ask that you would allow us by your sovereign grace to respond properly to your word and to glorify you just as you deserve to be glorified. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would grant also to us wisdom as we look into the pages of your word, that you would help us to discern truth from error. Help us to understand what it takes to truly follow you, to truly worship you, to truly celebrate what you are and what you've done. And Lord, if there's anything standing between us, I pray, Lord, that you would remove all obstacles by your great graciousness. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning who does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that by your power, you would grant to them the conviction that leads to life, so that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified and honored just as the Father is honored. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would protect my lips from error, that you would help me to rightly point your people to your word so that you would use your word by your Spirit to grant them life and encouragement. We pray these things always to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you turn in the Bible to John chapter 5, I have two really quick announcements that are real blessings for me to share with you. First of all, tonight at 5:45 at the Summit Street building, not here, we'll have our evening service, and we're having a baptismal service. And so if any of you have not yet been baptized and want to be baptized, you have a little bit of time to make that happen. Contact me after church, come right up to me, and we will start the process. I'd love to add to the numbers of those who are being baptized, but it doesn't matter how many. We are going to baptize and celebrate the baptism of Carrie Germain. And if there's any others that want to be, we will... We'll consider it. And I will just go ahead and waive the $1,000 fee if you act within the next 2 hours. Also, we have a brand new member to announce to you, whose membership will be official at 12:01 a.m. next Sunday. But Aaron Benjamin has been interviewed by the elders and accepted into membership. And so your job today is to not let her go before telling her that you appreciate her and that you're excited that she is becoming an official part of the church. Now, if you've been here for a while and have not yet joined the church, I will also waive the $1,000 fee if you act now and approach me. We'll talk about that. The hazing process is relatively painless. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about little words that make a big difference. Wouldn't you agree that in English, sometimes it seems that the littlest words make the biggest difference in meaning? And what comes to my mind as an example is this. Imagine that you go to your favorite Mexican restaurant, and you're having tacos, and they're the best tacos you've ever eaten in your life. They're fantastic. And you can't help, normally you don't say anything, but you just can't help but mentioning that to the waiter. And you say to the waiter, "Waiter or waitress, these are the best tacos I've ever had in my life." And your waiter says one of two things. Either A, yes, they taste like beef. Or B, yes, they're beef. Doesn't that make a huge difference? Doesn't just the little word "like" make a total difference? You say, "Wow, these tacos are great." Yes, they're like beef. Well, what are they then? Whereas if he says they are beef, you know what they are. It's like the word "sorta." Sorta is a real little word, makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Like when your doctor says you will live, sorta. Doesn't that make a huge difference? When your wife says, "You look nice, kinda," doesn't that make a huge difference? This morning, we're going to talk about the difference between the word "like" and the word "just like." Two words. The difference between "like" and "just like." When your wife says, "I want you to treat me like a queen," what does she mean? She means that she wants you to treat her with respect and with lavish her with gifts and act as though she is the only person in the world. When she says she wants you to treat her just like a queen, what does she mean? It means that she wants you to put a crown on her head, call her my lady, and bow when you enter the room. There's a big difference between "like" and "just like." Our text this morning is one verse from John chapter 5. If you would, please look at John 5, verse 23. We'll pick it up in verse 22 just so that it's a complete sentence. And we find this: "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son," notice this, "so that all will honor the Son even as," or "just like," "they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." This morning, we are going to understand by the Word of God that we are not to honor Jesus like the Father. We are to honor Jesus just like the Father. The difference is, we don't honor Jesus in a lesser way than we do the Father, who just in similar forms. No, we honor Jesus as if he were the Father, because they are equal. We honor him just like we honor the Father. If you hear nothing else for the next 35 minutes or 30 minutes or so, I hope that you would hear that, because the difference between "like" and "just like" is, without exaggeration, friends, the difference between heaven and hell. The difference between heaven and hell. So let's remind ourselves of the context, first of all, where we find that the Jewish leaders were upset because Jesus claimed superiority to their traditions. Remember, they were really hung up in the Sabbath, and Jesus broke the Sabbath. Look with me at verse 18. It says, therefore, because of this, all the more the Jews, that's the Jewish leaders, were seeking to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he was calling the Father his own Father, thus making himself equal to God. And that's what they hated. Jesus was not saying that I'm great. He was saying that I am equal to the Father, Jesus said. And the Jews hated that. They hated that he broke the Sabbath, but more than that, they hated that he claimed equality with God the Father. So let me ask you this question. That's our main question of the day. Do you honor God? That should be a question that's really important to you and really central to your thoughts and to your practices and to your what you seek in life. Do you honor God? Well, notice again what our verse says in verse 23. It says, in order that all would honor the Son just as, or even as, or just like they honor the Father. This morning, what we're going to talk about is whether or not we are commanded to honor Jesus just like God the Father, just like God the Holy Spirit, or if he is somehow a lesser God. But first, let's ask this question. Who should honor the Son? Who should honor the Son? What do I mean by this? Well, what I mean is this. Have you maybe fallen back into your default position that says that there's some people in life that are religious people and non-religious people? And religious people honor God, and non-religious people are not to honor God. They just go about their merry way, and hopefully they get saved or they go to hell. Have you begun to think that religion or our faith walk with Christ is a private matter? Well, I hope that if you do think that, that the Lord in his grace would rebuke you this morning by his word. Notice what it says here in verse 23. In order that some, no. In order that most, nope. In order that all would honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The Bible commands that every human being in the world honors him. That's important. Because friends, I think in many ways we've become way too polite. And we understand that the non-believer will never totally honor God because they are not yet born again. We get that. And so we begin to be comfortable and say, all right, well, I'm going to honor God and you just live your way and we'll never correct you. We'll never say anything against you. And we need to correct that this morning. And what I'd like to do is to give you 8 reasons why every human being in the universe should honor the Son. And therefore honor the Father, and therefore honor God. The first reason that everyone should honor the Son is that, first of all, he demands that they honor the Son. God is not up in the clouds like this. People, worms, ants, would you please honor me? I really hope you would, but if you don't, hey, I don't want to be rude. Could you sing to me? Could you worship me? Would you obey me? God is not like that. He demands worship. Not only that, but he demands that we worship the Son. Honoring Jesus is not optional. Do you believe that this morning? Because you just did it. So if you don't believe it, you're confused. We just sang songs about Jesus. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. Well, who are we singing that to? We're singing that to Jesus. And not only those who are believers, but the whole world is commanded to honor the Son. In Psalm 2:12, it says this, do homage to the Son, that he not become angry. In the King James, I think it said, kiss the Son. And that's the idea. The idea of worshiping him, honoring him. Mwah, 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 mwah. Now, yesterday was Valentine's Day. And I know a lot of you probably bought flowers or chocolates and walked in the room and said, hi, Punam. Mwah, 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 mwah. And there's something extraordinarily shallow in that. But there's something extraordinarily sublime in that. That is how God wants us to treat him, only sincerely. God, we love you, Jesus. Mwah! And he doesn't ask, he demands. The Son of God must be honored because, first of all, he demands it. Secondly, and I love this, he declares that they will honor the Son ultimately anyway. Always makes me think of the old cop shows. We can take care of it here or what? We can take care of it downtown, right? The answer to all your friends and all your unbelieving friends especially is this. You may refuse to bend the knee to Jesus now. That's your right. That's within your realm of capabilities. But friend, you will bow the knee before Jesus eventually. Every human being will. So you can take care of it here, or you can take care of it downtown. Meaning, you can take care of it willingly while you're alive and usher in eternal life, or you can kneel afterwards as a conquered enemy of Christ. Either way, you're hitting your knees. Philippians 2, 10 through 11 says this, so that at the name of Jesus, notice, every knee will bow, every tongue, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, notice this, to the glory of the Father. It honors the Father when you kneel before the Son. So do it. Maybe some of you this morning are not yet believers in Jesus Christ. And you say things like, well, I believe there's a Jesus, and I believe there's a God. I do not grant him any authority over my life. Well, our heart breaks for you, friend, because you're going to eventually anyway. So bow the knee before you're forced to. A third reason why every human being should honor the Son is because the Son is the Creator just as the Father is. Even as, in the same way. Notice Colossians 1:16 in your notes says this, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Look at this, friends. All things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is the reason why we exist, not the other way around. And what that means is that God was not bored before he created anything, and he said, you know what? We're just wasting our existence here, so let's create Dom. I have no idea what he was thinking when he decided to make Dom, but I know it wasn't that. We exist to glorify God, not the other way around. We exist to honor Jesus, not the other way around. We exist through him and for him. So honor him. A fourth reason why every human being must honor the Son is because he is the sustainer just as the Father is. Colossians 1:17 in your notes says this, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the glue. He's what keeps the universe from spiraling into chaos. Now, what does this mean to our unbelieving friends? This means, I always call it the pulse test. What you do is you take these two fingers, you put them right here. And if you feel a thump, 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 that's from God. If not, let us know. Okay? We'll help you. We'll call somebody. Do you realize every beat of your heart is sustained by the sovereign God of the universe? And there are countless millions who do not believe in him, who do not honor him, and yet still get the thump, 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 thump. Now, maybe this isn't a great example because it's like 150 degrees below zero, but, you know, the sun came out this morning. And not only believers, but unbelievers get to enjoy its beauty, hopefully from inside through the window. God sustains all of this. He keeps the whole universe working. And that is a blessing not only to those who are elect or those who are chosen, those who believe, but to even those who are not believers. So he deserves honor. A fifth reason is because the Son is the judge just as the Father is. And we saw that last week in verse 22 to 23 where it says this, "For the Father no longer judges anybody, but he has given all judgment to the Son in order that," verse 23, "all would honor the Son." A sixth reason for you note takers, appreciate your diligence, that all human beings should honor the Son is because the Son is sovereign just as the Father is. This means that Jesus is a king. He is in control. He is Lord, just like God the Father, just like God the Holy Spirit. In fact, in John 17:2, it says, "Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." Now we're convinced at this point, right? We don't really need any more reasons. Most of us are already convinced that the Son must be honored. But just two more, just to use these when you're talking to your unbelieving friends. When you go back to work this week and somebody clearly does not see any need to honor God, these are real great ways to get that person never to talk to you again, right? To say, here's eight reasons why you should honor Jesus Christ. Reason number seven is because the Son is gracious just as the Father is. Jesus' heart breaks for sinners. It breaks for those who in their stubborn rebellion refuse to turn to him, refuse to bow the knee to him. And so he, in essence, is reaching out, saying that whoever would be saved can be saved. And in Luke 4:22, it says this, "And all were speaking well of him," him being Jesus, "and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips." And they were saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Lastly, every human being in existence should honor the Son because the Son is glorious just as the Father is. What does this mean? This means that Jesus deserves the same glory that the Father deserves. In fact, he says that in John 17:5. He says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." There's a lot in that simple phrase where it says this in verse 23, "in order that all would honor the Son." There's a lot in there. God demands that his creation respect, honor, and glorify him in all three persons of the Trinity. So what does all this mean? First of all, it means that religion is not simply a private matter. I've said this before, and I really mean it. It is great foolishness to expect unbelievers to act like believers. And so we should never be surprised that the world at large is in some ways, in many ways, hostile to the parameters of the truth and and the Bible and the gospel. But even though we cannot expect them to honor God, even though we cannot expect them to obey God, even though we cannot expect them to believe in God, we must demand that they do so. That is the gospel. The gospel is demanding from dead people that they live and honor God. And they say, "I can't. I don't find it in me." And that's where the gospel begins to change them. There is a call to every human being to bow the knee before Christ. So our religious beliefs, our faith, our whatever you want to call it, is not simply something that we experience and we pursue in our own lives. And then when we go to work or when we go to school or when we go to whatever, that we leave it at the door. So therefore, our duty is to call the world to honor God. And this is where Christians have to speak up on moral issues. I see a lot of times Christians speak up on moral issues, but you get the feeling it's just because they don't like certain people, or they want to be right, or they want to be loud, or whatever. The reason why we speak out against these things is not just because we want our way, it's because the world must obey the God who created it. So let me ask you a question. Do you honor God? The next question we'll ask is this: how should they honor God? Notice what it says in verse 23, in order that all would honor the Son, kind of like? No. Sort of like? No. In Greek, just as. In your New American Standard, even as. They honor the Father. This is an amazing statement, guys. This is mind-numbing. Because if there were any doubts before that Jesus is claiming to be equal to the Father, those doubts, they evaporate now. Let me prove it to you. How would you react if I walk through your front door, knock, don't knock, doesn't matter to the illustration. I knock right in, I walk right in, and I say, honor me as God. What would you do? Well, you might, first of all, kick me out of your house. You might say, you know, he finally cracked, right? Maybe you'd stone me to death as a heretic. Maybe you would lay hands on me and pray and choke. What you would not do is obey that command, right? Most of you are saying yes. Some of you, hey, I'll test that theory this week or something. Jesus says, honor me just like, not kind of like, not sort of like, just like you honor God the Father. That is an amazing statement, because either he is claiming to be equal to the Father, which we know in context he is, or he is an idol pusher. You see the difference? If he is not worthy to be praised as the Father and he demands it, he's an idol. He's a false prophet. And so when he says this, he is making an implied claim to be equal with the Father. Otherwise, Jesus would be asking them to blaspheme, which means to speak against God. Let me share two verses from the Old Testament that illustrate our point. Isaiah 42:8 says this: I am the Lord, that is my name. Listen, I will not give my glory to another. God does not share his glory, and Jesus is demanding it. Not only that, he's saying he already has it. So either Jesus is equal to the Father, or he is a lying, blaspheming idol pusher. Isaiah 48:11 says this, God speaking says, for my own sake I will act, for how can my name be profaned, and listen to this, and my glory I will not give to another. God does not share his glory. And so if Jesus is saying, I had glory just like the Father does, and I am to be honored just like the Father is to be honored, he is claiming to be God. That's why throughout church history, going all the way back, the doctrine of the Trinity has been a litmus test of whether or not you are Orthodox or not. And this goes way beyond Protestant, way beyond evangelical. This goes all the way back to the earliest points in Christianity, where you must have understood that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are all God, but there's only one God. That is always a litmus test as to whether or not you are Orthodox. And I know that in a lot of ways it's hard to understand, and it doesn't really totally make a lot of sense. But the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and they are one. One essence, one godness. In fact, we know that because in Colossians 2:9, it says, for the fullness of deity dwells in Christ in bodily form. He is fully God and fully man. So what should you do? You should worship Jesus just like you worship the Father, just like you honor the Holy Spirit. He is an object of worship because he is God. There are two things that I would suggest to you by way of how we can obey this. First of all, we can obey this by worship. It's okay to sing how great Jesus is. It's not only okay, it's demanded. It's required. And the second thing is obedience. We must worship him to honor him. We must obey him to honor him. And there are many other ways, I'm sure. Now, with the time that's left, I want to ask a very important question, and by God's grace, hopefully answer it. Let's read our text again, verse 23. In order that all would honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Here's the second part. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Unless you are a Jesus worshiper, unless you are an exalter of Jesus, you do not honor God at all. Now, before I go any further, there's a couple of things I feel like I should say. First of all, a very important part of what I do is not only teach what is true, but also point out what is false and what is dangerous. I'm not the kind of person that, I don't like finding bad guys and then beating them up. That's not my nature. I like teaching the truth, but in teaching the truth, sometimes you have to point out error, and I'm going to do that pretty specifically for the time that we have left. And I do that not only because I feel like I should, but because Titus 1, 9 through 11 says this, that elders should hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that they would be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. My job is not only to teach what's true, I also have to point out what's false in order to contradict it. So amid all the competing religions in the world, how can we know that biblical evangelical Christianity is not only the best option, but I would suggest the only option? How can we be sure that we are truly right with God and that we truly honor him as God? Well, let's answer that question by asking this, or by saying this. It is impossible to honor God without honoring Jesus Christ in the same way that we honor the Father. I'll say it this way. If you believe Jesus to be a lesser God, you deny God completely. Now, what do I mean? Well, I want to bring up examples. I'm not bringing up examples to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to bring up examples in order to make bad guys and we're the good guys. They wear black cowboy hats. We wear white cowboy hats. It's nothing like that. But Mormonism calls itself Christian, because they believe in God the Father, and they believe that God has a son named Jesus Christ. What they do not believe is that the Son is God. They believe he is a God, perhaps, a lesser God, most assuredly. They do not believe that he has the same essence as the Father. They believe that God the Father is God, capital G, and Jesus is a lesser God. For that reason, they do not believe that Jesus is to be honored in the same way that the Son is to be honored. And because of that, I would suggest to you that Mormonism dishonors God. Make sense? Following my train of thought here? Unless you believe Jesus is to be honored exactly like the Father is to be honored, in the same level, you not only don't honor Jesus, you don't honor the Father. You forfeit any claim to truly honor God. Now, does this mean they're bad people? No. Does this mean we should beat them up? No. What this does mean is no matter what nomenclature or words they use that are similar to ours, they have, by its very nature, a God-dishonoring doctrine. And because of that, we would be very wary of them, to say the least. remember one time I was riding my bike and a couple of Mormon guys knocked on the door of somebody who used to go to church here. They moved away and, you know, I was wearing my bike stuff, which in and of itself is pretty intimidating. I gotta tell you. And they're knocking on the door and I see the kids, I think, or dogs or something scurrying around inside. And I said to them, look, you're barking up the wrong tree, guys. They don't want to hear it. So please leave. I didn't think anybody saw me, but somebody saw me. I'll get to that later. And they're going, well, no, we're just going door to door, spreading the love. I go, no, I know what you're doing. Don't, right? Especially there. And don't go to 719 McKinley Road either, because my wife gets pretty physical. No, I'm just kidding. I said, look, I know what you're trying to do. Don't. And I forget exactly what I said, but I was kind of nice. And then later, that next Sunday, the couple who lived there, who were not home at the time, I guess, I don't know, they came to me and they said, our neighbor said you told a Mormon off right in front of our house. It wasn't me. Yes, it was. And I don't do that to be mean. I don't do that to make them feel bad. I don't make that to make me feel good. I do that because in that house, they love Jesus. I didn't want them to waste their time, and I definitely didn't want them to spread their doctrine. Another group that I'll just touch on quickly is Jehovah's Witnesses. They sell you magazines, they knock on your door, and they talk about Jesus. You would think that they're a Christian. Maybe they're not. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael, and that he is infinitely lower than the Father. And so because of that, according to this verse, they don't honor God at all because they misunderstand the level of honor that Jesus deserves. Remember what this verse says. Unless you honor the Son just like you honor the Father, you don't honor him at all. Okay? And so what I do, or I like to do when I'm in the right frame of mind, I like to talk to them about that a little bit, but not much. I send them on their way because they are not honoring Christ. Another example that I hear a lot is people say that Muslims worship the same God as Christians. They don't. They worship a God they call Allah, which is a word that means God. The question is it the same God as the Old Testament, the same God as the New Testament? And the answer to that, most affectionately, is no. On the Dome of the Rock, there's a famous quote that says, Allah is God and Allah has no sons. So any God that is not the Father of Jesus Christ and any religion that does not honor Jesus just as they honor the Father forfeits all claim to honor God at all. They believe he is a prophet, maybe the best of prophets. He's not just a prophet. He is God. That's what he claims to be. That's what he is. That's what he demands that we accept. Verse 23 says, in order that all would honor the Son just as they honor the Father, the one not honoring the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The point is this, honor God in his Trinitarian glory or you do not honor him at all. And so let's not mess around with these other religions. Let's be very firm that they worship a God of their own choosing, a God of their own making, not the God of the Bible. And thus concludes the seeker-sensitive portion of our service. Let me conclude this. And I know I say these stupid jokes, but in my heart, I hope you understand that the false doctrine is dangerous. Because false doctrine makes the difference between heaven and hell. And so many countless millions are dying every day thinking they're going to heaven because of the church they belong to instead of because of a living and true faith in the true God of the Bible. Enough about them. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about you. Do you honor God in your doctrine? When I bring up the word Trinity, does that word even register with you? Maybe you have no idea what that is. Well, good news. That's what we're here for. We will teach you that. If you ever want to talk doctrine, give me a call. That's what I exist for, among other things. And I want you to understand these doctrines. That's why we teach Sunday morning, Sunday night, small groups, Sunday school, etc. We want you to understand these things. Understand, though, that you are that is not optional. We either honor God with what we believe, or we dishonor God in what we've not chosen to understand. Secondly, do you honor God in your devotion? Well, how about this? When was the last time you prayed to Jesus or sang directly to Jesus? Maybe you only pray to God the Father. Maybe you only sing to God the Father. Or maybe you only sing to God the Holy Spirit. When is Jesus specifically directed or the direction of your worship? A third question that I'll end with is this. Do you honor God in your duty? Do you do what God tells you to do? Do you honor Jesus by obeying him? Everybody's going to die. And when you die, you're going to hear one of two things. They always say it's St. Peter. I don't know who it is. You know, you get up to the front, the pearly gates. And they're going to tell you either one thing. They're either going to say, you are a Christian. You are saved. Go ahead. Or they'll say, you're like a Christian. You're sort of saved. You're kind of religious. And that answer leads you to hell. I don't want you to be kind of Christian. I don't want you to be sort of saved. I don't want you to be sort of religious. I want you to cry out. God, more importantly, God wants you to cry out to him for mercy, for grace, for deliverance, so that you would be born again. That's what we'll talk about next week. The ones who hear the word and believe in the one who sent me have eternal life and will not pass into judgment. That's next week. But before we get there, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me beg you this morning to bow your knee, figuratively, now, before the end of your life comes, when it will no longer be a choice, it will no longer be voluntary. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you because you are infinitely holy, because you deserve all praise, just as God the Father does, just as God the Holy Spirit does. God the Holy Spirit, we thank you, we praise you. God the Father, we thank you, we praise you. And I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, who does not honor you in their hearts, they don't revere you, they don't celebrate you, they don't praise you, that you would change their heart this morning. That you would convince them of their need and their utter spiritual bankruptcy. So that they would cry out to you to be saved. And say something like this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I want you to be honored. I know that you're honored when you have grace on me. And thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying in my place to take my punishment. I honor you just as the Father, because you are God and you are my Savior, my Master, my Creator, my Sustainer. Lord, I pray that you would awaken dead souls through the preaching of your word today in this church and in every other Bible honoring Jesus-honoring church in your world. Lord, would you please receive our honor now, our attempt to give you, grant you honor by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing, shall we?